Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many of us know there's more than one way to receive a healing? All right? There's more than one way. And there's no set way. There's nothing in the scripture that says you have to receive your healing like this. There's some people that think that, you know, but God never said it. And, you know, out of the way, of course, there are natural ways. You know, there's medicine, there's surgery. And I wasn't going to, but I'm going to spend a very short time talking about that because I don't want to dismiss it because too many believers do. they dismiss it. And Brother Hagin, Reverend Hagin, he was, you know, hobbling around, and he could barely go up and down on the stage because, again, through sports and those things, his knees said, I won't work anymore. I mean, that's... And he was believing God for his healing. He had knee replacements. God told him to get his knees replaced. He got his knees replaced. Both of them. I think it was a double knee replacement. And he was telling me about the physical therapy and everything. And, you know, he said, oh, yeah, Greg, if you want to get it done, get your knees replaced. I said, I'm going to do the same thing you did. If God tells me, then that's what I'm going to do. He said, well, that's true. He said, that's what you do. And the surgery went extremely well. And he's walking around pain-free, running around, doing all the things that God called him to do. Because he could not. How are you going to oversee over 230 some odd campuses around the world and you're immobile? God knew that, and God came up with the way that he thought was best for that circumstance, for that situation. Look at Proverbs 17. This is something I'm passionate about because too many of our brothers and sisters in Christ left here prematurely because they were looking for something to come one way and wouldn't accept it coming any other way. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Look at Ezekiel 47. I'll tell you why I'm sharing these two in a minute. It says, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. Because of their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat or food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. I ended with verse 12. Now, medicine is used in Proverbs. It's used in Ezekiel. In Proverbs, the word is geha, the Hebrew word. It means a cure. In Ezekiel, it's... Oh, I didn't get the pronunciation. Terufa. And it means a remedy. So God has no problems using a remedy, using a cure. What we have to understand is we have to go to him and find out what we should be doing about any situation. And he'll tell you. See, and I took the time to tell you this because we have to take God, we have to let God out of the box as believers, especially when it comes to healing. Then I'm going to give you what I call a Pastor Greg thought. All right. The Bible says in Luke 6, we use it most of the time for ministry of giving, give and it shall be given again unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall what? Men give into your bosom. You have a financial need. And you're believing God. And a woman walks up to you. Says, God told me to give you this. And she hands you an envelope with $1,000. You said, no, I can't take it. He said, no, but God told me. He said, no, he said, men will give in to me. You're a woman. That's silly, isn't it? Well, it's the same principle when it comes to healing. We're looking for, we want to be divinely healed. All your healing is divine. It's God who allowed the medical science to develop. It's God who spoke to those people and told them become doctors, physicians, you know, surgeons, whatever. It's God who told them to do that. Isn't that divine? We have to change our mindset and realize that if God said it, he can do it however he chooses. And more specifically, because God said, write this down. He said, God is sovereign. He will get what we need to us in whatever manner he chooses. We have to be willing to take what God gives, when he gives, no matter how he gives. What's important is that he gives. That's all that's important. Say it again. We have to be willing to take what God gives when he gives, no matter how he gives. And one thing we're going to learn today is that regardless of how God chooses to heal, there are two factors that must be present and free-flowing. So again, there are natural ways to receive healing, but there are also spiritual ways. And in our outline, they talk about three spiritual ways. There's just simple truth, simple faith. Well, what's that? Simple faith is you hear a word, you believe it, you apply it, you get healed. It's just simple. You hear it and you're like, I got it. It's done. I mean, that's what it is. The other one we talked about in previous classes, laying on of hands, where a believer will come up to you, you know, a believer will lay hands on you, and that healing anointing power of God will flow through that believer into you. You'll be healed. You know, that's simple also. Third one, it's more Pentecostal, so to speak, more old Pentecostal. They call it, what is it, praying the power down. We know it as a move of the Holy Spirit, where in a service, either during prayer or high praise and worship, the Holy Spirit will just drop on everybody. And that's when usually whoever's leading the service will say, the Holy Ghost is here. Just receive what you need. Just get it. You know, it just the power just was prayed down or praised down. However you want to use it, it just came down. I mean, that's what it was. And it lights on you, and you're healed. You're healed. It doesn't matter to me which one happens. If something's not right with me, I just want it fixed. I mean, that's what it is. And it doesn't matter. The other part, and we talked about it a little bit before, I think I talked about it here. If not, it was at last Friday at the healing service in Pennsylvania. But we start looking at people. And I don't know. I've never seen Pastor Greg on TV, you know, healing people. You know, nobody knows who he is. We start looking for these name folks. And we travel all over the place spending all this money to get in the healing line for someone that has a quote-unquote name. Well, you're not in faith. Because if you were in faith, you get healed where you were. You know, unless you convince me that God told you, you know, to go from among believers, every one of which can lay hands on you and you can receive healing, and send you halfway around the world for a particular person to do that. You know, I God can do whatever he wants, but I've never seen anywhere where he's done anything like that. Okay. Now, remember, there are two factors. No matter what way you're healed, there are two factors that always have to be present and in operation. And if they're not there, I don't care what's going on, nothing's going to happen. And those two factors are faith and power. Period. I don't care what's going on. If there's no faith, if there's no power, there's going to be no healing. There's no, look at Acts 10. In verse 38, very familiar. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Why was he able to go all about doing good and healing all that were oppressed? He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he believed it. He believed it. And it says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. And in reading, I found out that those two words are synonymous. You can understand when you say the Holy Ghost came over you, the power of God came over you. You say the power of God came all over me, the Holy Ghost came all over you. We can interchange the two words, just so you'll understand. John G. Lake, I haven't really read any of his books. I've heard about him, and I've read sayings by him. I get to read another one. It's a good analogy for understanding the anointing. It says, electricity is God's power in the natural realm. The Holy Ghost is God's power in the spirit realm. And I thought about something with electricity. I may go back to this again. And the reason this is, I'm jumping ahead, we'll catch up. But there's a lot of talk, you know, about, you know, the switch of faith and keep the switch of faith turned on. And, you know, I have some other thoughts on that, and I'm going to explain some things about it to you because I know what it means. But it gives the connotation that the power of God can be turned on and off, or that your faith can be turned on or turned off. What we need to understand that the power is there. This light is connected to a cord that's connected to an outlet that's connected to a breaker box that's the source of power. The power is there. In order for the power to be effective, there has to be a free-flowing channel from the power source to whatever it is that needs the power. It cannot be a broken line. It needs to be an unbroken, unblocked channel because the power's there. It's there right now. The power's it's right here at this lamp. But the lamp isn't operating in faith. The lamp has to fix its faith so it can come on. Why isn't it coming on? Something must be wrong. It's plugged in. Something must be wrong. Let's see. This represents our head. Let's see. Look at that. Look at that. The power was there. The switch was turned on. Nothing was happening because the thinking wasn't right. The thinking wasn't right, and it wasn't allowing the power to get through. But then once it renewed its mind and it understood the power is there, I have to change what I'm thinking so it can come through me and do what it's supposed to do, then the power comes. Then the power comes. God's not going to force us to leave the channel open. We have to realize, where do I want to go? Because I'm a little ahead, but I'll go back and forth. Let's go to Romans. Well, first, the 2 Corinthians 5. We know it. We need to understand it. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's read verse 7, King James Version. We there? See, I cut and paste, so it's all on one page. Ready?
Yes.
Let's read it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So since we're supposed to walk by faith, our faith should always be active. Otherwise, where are we going? Okay, Hebrews 11. How many of us want to be pleasing to God? Do we want to be pleasing to God all of the time? Are we sure? Well, let's read verse 6 in Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So how can we live a life that's pleasing to God if we're selective about when we're going to use our faith and when we're not? We should always be in faith. That channel should never be closed because it's our faith that keeps the power channels open. And it does something else. I'll show it to you in a little bit, but it directs the power to you. And I'm going to show you that in an account in a few minutes. Romans 1, verse 17. How many of us are just? We all just, right? Well, it says, the just shall live by faith. Period. So if we're just, then we are always living by faith. We can't be a just person and not live by faith. We should always be living by faith. Period. Jesus said, let your light so shine. If we're not in faith, we can't let our light so shine. Because first of all, we won't believe that we have it. So we need to understand that faith is necessary to allow the power of God to get to you. We'll show you something specifically in a moment. I don't want to miss any of my notes. There are laws that govern electricity. First of all, electricity was here when God created the earth. It was here. We didn't find out about it till about 260 years ago. You think about how many millions of years the earth was here, or how many thousands of years man was on the earth. We didn't discover electricity until about 260 years ago. It was here. But now that we found it, it still wasn't valuable to us 260 years ago. They had to learn what it was, what to do with it, what laws governed it. Because if you don't know what you're doing with electricity, it's painful. And instead of giving you life or helping you live a better life, it can cause you to lose your life because you don't understand the principles. You don't understand the rules. You don't understand what makes it go and how it's supposed to be used. Well, the same thing that's happening to us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. If we don't take the time to learn who we are and what are the governing principles, it's not going to go well with us. So we have to take the time to find out. So folks took the time through trial and error. They found out what electricity is. They found out how to harness its power. They found out how to direct its power so it could be useful. And we need to be able to do the same thing with the power of God. It's available to us all of the time. It's available to us right now for whatever need we have. It's available to us, but we don't have it channeled. And we need to learn how to keep everything open and keep all of the switches open so that it gets to where it's supposed to be. And then people get the benefit from it. So just as there are laws that govern the operation of electricity, there are laws that govern the operation of spiritual power. And the problem has been that in times past, we thought that if the anointing was present, stuff would just happen. There are folks that, I mean, the pastors, I remember them vividly. The presence of God is here. Just reach out. The first time that happened, I got nothing. You know why? I didn't know how to reach out. I didn't stretch out with faith. How do you do that? You know, I didn't know. I look around, I see people doing this, so I said, okay. And I'd go like this, you know, but I didn't know. I wasn't trained. I didn't know how to believe it in. But the Spirit, the power, it was right there. And I wanted to grab it, but I just didn't know how. So we have to take the time and learn how to do it. People have asked, if the power of God to heal exists, why doesn't it just move on our behalf? It does. But you have to take it. The healing power of God is just like, let me just, right here. It's right here. It sits down right next to you. And if you don't know it, you don't benefit from it. You're like, where is it? It's right there. When did it come there? That's right. The day you said, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, it came and sat right next to you. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we have to understand that. When people are running around looking for the power, and it's right there. It's right. We have to learn more about the anointing and what the Word of God says about it so that we can benefit from it. Look at John 15, please. This is out of the Message Bible. Starting with verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. When you are joined with me, please say with me. And I with you, please say with you. The relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted on. So if you believe, that's faith, what you believe will be acted on. That's power. But there are some key words I ask you to say with me and with you. There's a difference. Because when I first read this, I said, when you joined to me, and I said, wait, it didn't say join to. It said, this translation says joined with. There is a difference being joined with than joined to. Joined to, I could just be hanging on, just going along for the ride. You know, like it's not legal, but you see some of these kids, they come up behind the bus and they hold on and just ride on the back of the bus. I mean, not only is it wrong, it's dumb. But they're not joined with the bus. They connect to the bus. But Jesus said, with me. With me is like an internal connection where you become part. See, if I can just grab on, you're just sitting here, that's why I use you so much. I can just, as you're running, I can grab onto your t-shirt and just run alongside you. But I'm not with you. If I'm with you, we're just linked up. And we're one, there's no resistance, everything is just free flowing because I'm with him. It's like we're wearing the same shirt. We're together. I am with him, and he is with me no matter what happens. When I'm joined to him, I get to my destination, and guess what? I let go. And he goes on about his business. See, we're not hitching a ride on the vine. We are connected to the vine, and we're to stay connected to the vine. If I want the power to always be present, it has to stay connected. And it will not disconnect by itself. I have to grab it and disconnect it. I have to be separate from it. But as long as I stay connected, the power is going to flow unobstructed. And I'll get the benefit of it. But I have to make the choice to stay connected. It's already made its choice. It made itself available and gave me the connection port. For us, the connection port is Jesus. And as long as we stay, we have access. I want the access. See, we join ourselves to Jesus, as I said, because we believe that he is. That's what we read in Hebrews. We have to first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We have to believe that. So our faith should never be an issue. No one should ever have to come up to you and say, stay in faith. Oh, we walk by faith. We're the just, we live by faith. So we have to get that part settled. Because if our faith isn't there, if our faith isn't where it should be, if we allow our faith to die, the power won't mean anything to us because we'll have no means to connect to it, no channel for it to flow. That's why I believe, you know, the devil, you know, comes with sickness and these horrible symptoms. Because people, I've talked to too many people that they said, I was in so much pain, I was praying to God to just take me home. And I'm like, okay, if you have enough faith to pray that God will take you home, why not pray the pain away? Because you need to do the same thing. You don't need any more faith to pray the pain away than you need to go home. You really wanted to go home because you were in so much pain. Really want the pain to go away. It's the same thing. But we don't understand those dynamics. We just think, okay, I fought the good fight. No, you didn't, because you don't have to go. If you fought the good fight, you're staying. You're winning because it's not your time. Your work isn't finished. The reason you say that is because you've been in a fight and you've taken some heavy blows. And you feel, okay, I've been beaten up, but I'm still in my right mind. Yeah, naturally, but spiritually, our faith is shot. And if our faith is shot, our power's abated. And now we're facing the enemy in our own strength. And in our own strength, we're no match for him. We have power over all his power. We don't have power over anything. Do we understand? Those that are listening, I'm just turning on and off the light as an example. I have to remember, this isn't on video. This is just audio. Where do we want to go next? Okay. Luke 5. I like this account. Luke 5. And start at verse 17. I'm staying in the King James. For these classes, I'm trying to stay in the King James. So then it came to pass on a certain day, as he, meaning Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of God was present to heal them. See, we talked about one of the ways is praying the power down. The power was there. And if the power, why do you think the power was there to heal? Well, Christ, he was in other places and it didn't say the power was there to heal. But why do you think it said, specifically it said the power was there to heal? It says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, who didn't believe? The Pharisees, the teachers of the law. It says these Pharisees, these doctors of the law came from all these different cities, and the power of God was there to heal them. Why was the power of God there to heal them? Say again? No, it's not what they're teaching. They needed healing. It came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Those that were in that meeting needed to be healed of something. We talked about praying the power down. The power was there, but it wasn't flowing. And behold, the man brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, this house was so filled, they couldn't even get in the door. So the house is filled with people that need to be healed. The power of the Lord is there to heal, and they're not getting healed. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, what two things do we need? Faith and power. The power was there, but there was no faith in the place until this man got lowered in. It says, and he saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith, and he said to them, to that man, thy sins are forgiven. See, the power couldn't flow until faith arrived. And it arrived in the form of this one man who the Bible doesn't talk about how he knew about the meeting, because I'm wondering, why wasn't there a whole line of people coming? But it wasn't just the faith of that one man. What about the people that brought him? It doesn't say how far they traveled, but I'm sure they weren't right next door. So they had to carry this man into a place filled with Pharisees and doctors of the law. And they're carrying this man, and then now they can't get in. They're undaunted. They're like, we ain't come this far. We're going to get what we came for. Okay. And they started looking around. And they climbed up, and they did a good job for Motown. They gave Motown a song, some song lyrics. Remember those, Robert? Going to tear the roof off. Well, so was this. But they tore off the roof and lowered the man down, and Jesus saw their faith. Faith not only opened the valve, but it provided a direct route to the one who needed healing. That's what faith does. Remember I said earlier, it directs the power. It lets the power know you need it over here. And the power goes, it flows right there. But if you shut down, the power's still there, but it can't do anything because you've shut down. When folks have resolved, well, look, my mother had breast cancer. My grandmother had breast cancer. My great-great-grandmother had breast cancer. Two of my sisters had breast cancer. So I guess I'm going to have breast cancer also. I know someone that went through a double mastectomy because they didn't want to get breast cancer. Because of the history of it in her family. A double mastectomy. Wasn't necessary. They saw a nodule that was benign. That was it. That's it. Take them off. No faith. That doesn't know that the power is available. It's like the men that were, the people that were on this planet that didn't know about electricity. It was there. They didn't know about it. Didn't know how to, I mean, they didn't even know how, about fire. Now understand, just because the switch, the faith is turned off, doesn't mean the power is not present. Because if so, you'd have to, you know, open all the valves and then wait. Okay, I think it's going to get here soon. No, it's there. As soon as faith shows up, bang, that power does what it was sent to do. As soon as faith shows up, Jesus said over in Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. Let's look at that for a minute. It says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years. And suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. For 12 years, she spent all of her money and got worse. She was doing everything she knew to do. She wanted to be healed to the point where she was willing to give up everything that she had. That's how badly she wanted to be healed. But she grew worse. When she heard of Jesus. The Bible says, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. When she heard of Jesus, I put in faith came. Faith, she heard of Jesus, and then it was like, all I have to do is get to him and touch him, and I'll be healed. She heard of Jesus, and she believed that Jesus had the power to heal her. And she just needed to make a connection with Jesus. Now, on the surface, it sounds like just a little simple story. Okay, she went, she found out where Jesus was, went there, touched him, and that was it. No, she put her life on the line. Because she had an issue of blood, she wasn't supposed to be out in public. And if she was out in public, she should have been screaming, unclean, unclean. So people move out of what she didn't do any of that. She had to go through the press. That means she was bumping into people. Them's grounds for stoning and being stoned to death during that time. For she had said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And when she did it, it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. As soon as she touched him, immediately that power hit her and her healing was done. Was done. She had to have faith and that the power would be present. And then she had to act on her faith. See, there are too many that would send someone, Coco, ask them to come by here. But there's nothing wrong with your legs. You're in faith, get up and go. Go to where the power is. If you don't, she didn't know any better. She heard about Jesus. And what she heard so struck her, so motivated her, so energized her, she said, I'm going. I know the risks. I know the consequences if they find me. I don't care. 12 years is long enough. I don't have any other options. I'm going. See, we don't look at it as not having any other options. See, we have options. We have options. See, a lot of people, they always ask me, well, how come we don't see miracles like we see in the book of Acts? I said, they didn't have PlayStations. They didn't have cable. There were no football games, no basketball games, no soccer, no big. They weren't distracted. They must have been spending time doing what Jesus said in Joshua, meditating in the word day and night. And their faith was strong. You're talking about the people, they've seen oppression. And they know the difference between the miracle and the phony. And they see these miracles happen and they know this is true. And that's what they meant and that's what they talked about. They didn't care how many points LeBron James scored. They wanted to know how many people came into the kingdom. So their faith, they didn't go around with their faith on and off and on and off. No, they just flat out believed. And that power connection was never abated. So when the word was spoke, power exploded, they received. They received. That's what's missing. Folks say, we need a revival. We need for believers to believe. That's what we need. Because if believers believe, there would be a revival. Because non-believers would be seeing things. Okay. Think about it. Just Peter speaking out in the midst of people who he was afraid of at one point. 3,000 people came into the kingdom. 3,000. in one night, one meeting. Why? They saw something different in Peter. They knew who Peter was. And they said, this has got to be true. This has got to be real. They wouldn't be acting like that if this wasn't real. I want in. That's one of the things, what's one of the issues that millennials have with the modern day church. They've watched their parents struggle. They've buried parents and grandparents who've been believing, you know, for healings that never manifested. They've heard the prosperity messages, and they don't see anybody that they love prospering. And so they're like, "This maybe this isn't real." They still hang around the peripheral hoping to see something that says, this is real, this is true. And I think when we start understanding just healing, and they start seeing miraculous healings in people that they know, their attitude about this will change. But first, those of us who know, our attitude about it needs to change. And we need to go around doing and acting like we are who we say we are. I thought I wasn't going to have enough time to get through this, but it looks like I don't have enough time to finish. Oh, okay. I have a little bit of time. So when you think about it, looking at Luke 5, we'll actually go, want to jump to Mark 11. See, really, what we're saying, when we're saying, you know, turn the switch of faith on, we're really saying a paraphrase of what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. So, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Can we stop there for a moment? How does doubt get into your heart? You're right. Yeah, you start thinking about it. You said, now, hands were laid on my friend last year, and nothing happened. Now, I just got the same diagnosis, and nothing happened to him. Now, he knows more word than I know. He's been a believer longer than I've been. So how come he didn't get it? Maybe there's some things that, you know, God just allows and you just have to go through. You know, I don't know. But I figure, you know, if anybody was going to get healed, it would have been him. Doubt comes into your heart. You start wondering. When I was diagnosed with prostate cancer back in 2004, Joe Torre, Mayor Giuliani, all of a sudden it seemed to be this epidemic of folks having prostate cancer. But not only that, there were some other folks that were having prostate cancer and were dying. And my attitude through it all was, thank you, Lord, that I have this because I know what to do with it. Thank you that someone else doesn't have it that doesn't know and will die because this ain't killing me, period. And that was my attitude from the beginning. From the beginning. From the first, when my doctor called, and I knew it was him from caller ID, I said, hey, Dr. Barr, I'm so sorry. Like, sorry about what? I'm so sorry. You know, like, what? I had forgotten that I had a biopsy. And he said, the biopsy. I said, oh, yeah, what about it? He said, it was positive. I thought that meant it was good. I did. I went, well, that's a good thing. He said, no, it was positive. That means you have a tumor in your prostate. Okay. That's what I said. Okay. Like, okay, God. What do we do about this? This ain't killing me. You know, because we'll hear certain things. We'll hear cancer and think that we don't hear cancer. We hear your life's over. And doubt just comes. There's certain things that the devil uses. You know, he has big guns. And they say cancer, and believers' knees start knocking. I'm like, why? You said, and we sang the song, you're the name of, it's the name above all names. We read the name of Jesus is higher than any name that it's named. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It didn't say every knee except. It said every knee shall bow. But if we don't have the faith to believe that, no power. We need to have the faith so that the power is flowing and wipes it out. Just wipes it out. Remember Jesus, it said in John, the light shineth in the darkness. And when you use the definition of the word comprehended, it means there's nothing the darkness could do about it. When you understand that, when you believe that, you have that. And we need to have it. So we have to make sure that we keep our thoughts in order. And don't think there's something wrong with you if a wrong thought pops up. Why do you think the Bible tells us to capture every thought? Any high thing that exalts itself against our knowledge of God. Bring them in subjection. Why would the Bible tell us that? Because he knew thoughts were going to come, and he wanted us to know we have the power, we have the authority. I like that word better. We have the authority to corral that wayward thought and make it obey Christ. That means we cause that same thought that's saying you're going to die to say you're going to live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. But God is not going to corral it. He gave us the ability to do that. And if we don't corral it, it's going to drop down into our hearts, folks. And when it drops down into our heart, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, and you'll wind up speaking things into existence. Things that were already blocked, we speak them into existence. Just like I've said it, Pastor Ed shares it, you know, because he knows it's all right to. But when we first ordained and I was given ministry responsibility, it seemed that every time I was scheduled to minister, my blood pressure would spike. So I'd look at the schedule and I go, oh boy. And I said, what's the matter? I said, I'm scheduled to minister on Sunday. He said, well, praise God. I said, yeah, every time I'm scheduled to minister, my blood pressure spikes, so Friday or Saturday, I'm going to have to be in the emergency room for 6 hours. And I was saying this, and guess what? Every single time, I was in the emergency room. 13 times by ambulance. 13 times by ambulance. One time, they had to work on me in the ambulance. 220 over 150. Guy said, do you have a headache? No. Well, you're about to. And I'm like, wait a minute. That can mean too many things. He said, no, we're going to put nitroglycerin paste on you, and it's going to cause your veins to dilate, and it's going to give you a headache, but it'll bring your blood pressure down quickly. I said, slap it on, brother. Then one day in the office, I was saying it, and Pastor Ed said, why do you keep saying that? What do you mean why I keep saying? He said, why do you keep saying that? I said, because that's what happened. Oh. And just like that, it stopped. I didn't have to speak crop failure all over the words or any of those kind of things that people do. I stopped saying it. And it stopped happening. Can't let things get down into your heart. I didn't realize it had gotten in my heart because I never thought about it. To me, it was just logical. It just happened, so I was just speaking what happened. Call things that be not as though they were. That's what the word says. And that's what I believe. He said, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. That's the faith. And you shall have them. That's the power. Amen? I got to unhook. It's 7 o'clock. Thank you. Two things are necessary. Whether you're going to be healed through simple faith, through the laying on of hands, through praying down the power, or by taking an antibiotic or having surgery, there's going to be faith. There has to be faith and power. Amen? Amen. Amen.